Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 31st, 2015. I'm Maya Williams. Pay increases were the hot topic in Los Angeles today as the debate over LA's minimum wage continues. Ben Ebert has the story.
The LA Board of Supervisors voted unanimously to study the effects of raising the minimum wage. Supervisor Sheila Kuehl led the motion that will allot $95,000 for the LA Economic Development Corporation to look into the effects of the increase on workers and businesses. This was a response to three other studies released last week that gave mixed results on the issue. Small business owner Sharon Brown came out to support higher wages.
Increasing the minimum wage will likely be a stimulus that will help workers thrive, make the county's economy more sustainable and inclusive, and morally and ethically, it's the right thing to do.
Elizabeth Shapiro, a representative of the LA County Business Federation, opposes the wage increase.
A better solution would be to focus on creating the conditions that promote good-paying middle-class jobs that can actually lift individuals and families out of poverty.
In a separate event, Mayor Eric Garcetti and U.S. Labor Secretary Thomas Perez spoke in North Hollywood on the issue. Perez discussed why increasing the minimum wage is a necessary action.
Here in Los Angeles and across this country, I meet people day in and day out who are playing by the rules, doing everything right, and they have to get their food at the food pantry. That's not who we are as a nation.
If the plan goes through, LA's minimum wage will go up to $13.25 an hour as early as 2017. Ben Ebert, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Garcetti and Secretary Perez were also at a forum highlighting wage theft. A fair day's pay was put on by the Service Employees International Union and the California Fair Paycheck Coalition. So-called wage theft is prevalent among low-income workers. Some example of wage violations are getting paid less than minimum wage, being denied meal breaks, and not receiving proper compensation for overtime work. According to a UCLA study, Los Angeles workers lose more than $26 million every week from wage theft. Tina Tran talked about her experience.
I was never paid for overtime. I never received meal or rest periods. And I always thought this was normal because, well, I thought it was part of the job, and also I needed those hours, so I never said anything.
The city is considering starting an enforcement bureau to enforce legal wage practices and work to prevent further wage theft in the city. The Los Angeles Police Department announced today it will be putting hundreds of body cameras in the field starting this summer. Caitlin Plummer reports.
The LAPD received 860 body cameras last week and will begin using them as soon as a policy regulating their use is developed. The cameras were paid for by $1.5 million of private donations through the LA Police Foundation. This may be just the beginning, as LA Mayor Eric Garcetti proposed to boost the number of cameras in his budget plan. Garcetti intends to provide the LAPD with 7,000 body cameras, enough to give one to each officer. Caitlin Plummer, Annenberg Radio News.
The Department of Veterans Affairs announced today it's granting $30 million to nonprofit agencies supporting homeless veterans in the LA area. The three-year grant will go toward cooperatives that help low-income veteran families transition into permanent housing. LA County has the most homeless veterans in the entire country, but Mayor Eric Garcetti has promised to find housing for all 4,200 of them by the end of this year. Help is on the way for the homeless population in Los Angeles, with new funding available for various services. Kevin McAllister has this report.
The Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors approved contracts today to allocate more resources, including over $2 million to services for the homeless. The new programs will give the homeless more access to housing, food options, and medical care, which Skid Row's Kelly Kunta believes is the most important issue.
Getting people money to spot to lay their head before they die. At least give them that courage and respect as a human being.
Executive Director of the Los Angeles Homeless Service Authority, Peter Lynn, says that the money his organization will receive will not just go to one specific project, but be available to improve projects across the board.
Homelessness is a multifactorial, very complex set of challenges, and the population have multiple physical and mental health needs as well as other kinds of support service needs and housing component.
According to the most recent data available, there were more than 58,000 homeless people living in Los Angeles County. Kevin McAllister, Annenberg Radio News.
Activists in Los Angeles protested the Los Angeles Police Department's treatment to street vendors. Savannah Ajar reports.
Jeanette Favela is a community organizer for East LA Community Corporation. She's here with street vendors protesting what they say is a heavy increase in police harassment.
People are losing their ability to make ends meet, to pay the rent, right? Because they lose hundreds, if not thousands of dollars of the investment that they made for that day. They don't feel like they have any recourse. They don't feel like they can trust anybody, or who are they gonna call when the LAPD is on their property confiscating stuff? There's nowhere else to call for help.
Jack Richter is a spokesperson for the LAPD. He says that they are not harassing vendors, but sees this as a crackdown to address potential health issues.
We have individuals selling, you name it, products that can range anywhere from illegal to counterfeit products to products that maybe have health issues.
City leaders are proposing a street vendor program permitting vendors to sell on the streets of Los Angeles. But some committee members are concerned about how to regulate the 50,000-plus vendors who sell items ranging from fruit to clothes to tech gadgets. Savannah Ajar, Annenberg Radio News.
The initial results are in for the first ever report on the status of women and girls in LA, and they're mixed. Mayor Eric Garcetti announced today that City Hall has reached gender parity for the first time in its history, but women are paid only 84 cents for every dollar a man earns, and only slightly more than a quarter of city employees are women. 3 out of 10 girls in Los Angeles live in poverty. The study was completed by researchers at Mount St. Mary's University. Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush is holding a fundraiser in Bel Air today. He's there on behalf of a pro-Bush political action committee called Right to Rise. Robert Tuttle is hosting the reception and dinner. He was an ambassador during the George W. Bush administration. Tickets to the event run $25,000 per couple. Bush is a potential GOP candidate for the 2016 presidential election, though he's not officially announced. Today is the first day your Uber driver may not have to be in complete camouflage when picking you up from the airport. Orange County supervisors have issued permits to the ride-sharing companies Uber and Wings to operate from John Wayne Airport. Pharmacists are now involved in the ongoing debate about execution drugs. Rania Aniftos has the story.
The American Pharmacists Association wrapped up its annual meeting in San Diego by issuing a policy to discourage its members from prescribing lethal drugs for executions. USC pharmacy professor Dr. Kathleen Basinke says lethal injections contradict a pharmacist's job.
Execution's not healthcare. It's a punishment, and as such, the association believes that pharmacists should be discouraged from participating.
The plan was approved with almost no opposition, but the association has no power to force pharmacists to follow the recommendations. However, Basinke says it's likely to drastically cut down on the use of lethal injection.
Already, states who are using lethal injection are having difficulty getting the medication, and this policy would discourage the membership from taking raw materials and making a product that could be used.
Due to the policy and recent shortages and boycotts, states will begin to look at other methods of execution, such as the electric chair. Rania Aniftos, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA City Council voted unanimously today to add a section to its general city plan that will implement new health guidelines for low-income neighborhoods. The plan is aimed at reducing stark differences in health measures between rich and poor areas. For example, studies have shown Brentwood residents have a higher life expectancy than those in Watts. Some of the goals include better access to grocery stores and street beautification. The vote did not include new funding for the plan. The LA County Board of Supervisors marked Cesar Chavez Day with an honored guest this morning. Taylor Haney has the story.
A group of dancers began the Board of Supervisors meeting. The Coalición de Folcloristas Unidos held up a framed photo of Cesar Chavez and danced with multicolored ribbons. And the supervisors brought another labor leader to be honored, Dolores Huerta. Here's First District Rep Hilda Solis.
Dolores has been one of those soldiers that stood by Cesar Chavez, and stood by so many people across this country.
Huerta co-founded the United Farm Workers Movement with Chavez. She spoke this morning about his dedication to laborers.
Cesar was very committed to making sure that the working people, the people that work with their hands, that pick our food every day, that they can be paid a living wage so that they can feed their families and lead a comfortable life.
And the world, says Huerta, should remember his ideals: nonviolence, environmentalism, non-materialism, and civic engagement. Taylor Haney, Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Andrew Tweedy with today's Root Source.
There's no better place than New York City to get a bagel. It's all in the water, as they say. The word bagel derives from the Yiddish word for ring, which dates all the way back to the 10th century. Obviously, people have enjoyed bagels long before the immigrant Polish Jews brought the tasty treat across the Atlantic.
Here it is, folks, a genuine New York bagel.
The first known mention of the word bagel came from a Yiddish book written in 1610. It said bagels were given as a gift to women in childbirth. Shortly after, bagels became a staple of the Polish national diet and spread throughout Europe and eventually to America by the turn of the 20th century. Nowadays, well, people still love their bagels.
The LA Times today published an article on tensions surrounding a proposal to establish a cultural house for African American students on USC's highly popular Greek Row. There have been several incidents of alleged racial profiling at social events on campus, and many Black students complain of feeling excluded at USC. Jerome Campbell, who co-authored the Times article, says Black students are seeking a space of their own.
It's sort of like these Black students are living like an underground culture at their own university that they're paying to go to. And this is where the desire for this house comes from.
It has been coined the Black House and will be non-residential. No alcohol will be allowed inside. Ama Amuafo Yeboah is a student organizer for the house. She says the goal is to promote visibility for Black students and intercultural understanding on a campus that is only 4% African American.
We really think that it's important to highlight the African diaspora on our campus and to create a space where students feel safe and supported, mainly students in our community, but also we want students in the general USC community to learn about the African diaspora and learn about our people. And it's proven that when you understand people's background and history, that improves race relations, and that is one of the large issues on our campus.
The USC student government voted in favor of the proposal to put the Black House on Greek Row. But according to the Times article before the vote, the social media app Yik Yak was active with posts opposing a Black House on the coveted row. Some of the comments were racially charged. Undergraduate student body president-elect Rennie Sampath says the Black House could help tackle a larger issue of racial tension and insensitivities on campus.
If students feel marginalized on our campus, no matter where they come from or who they are, we absolutely owe it to them to find a solution to that issue. And when I was approached by a number of students expressing that they do not feel safe on this campus, often feel profiled even, I thought that it would be best for us to come up with a solution. That solution was our Black House.
While Greek Row is considered a prime location, in order for the Black House to make a statement, student organizers have not found a property yet. But they have begun fundraising, with a goal of $8 million over the course of the next several years. That's it for today. We had help today from Victor Figueroa, Mark Salinger, Leslie Noy, and Savannah Ajar. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Holly Thompson is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Taylor Haney. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Maya Williams.